Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. Good to see everyone. First thing I've got to say is the same thing I said to Pablo on the way in. I don't know what's the matter with you people starting a service at 7 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, for those of you who don't know, Tony and I have spent the last week in Anaheim, California with the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And so we got in last evening. Thanks to Carl, he got me home. And I appreciate the Lord. I tell you, the Lord overshadowed in so many ways. You know, one little way was he was my travel agent. I looked for the cheapest, decent way to get there back in November and got all signed up with American Airlines. They had a direct flight from Raleigh to Los Angeles. I thought, Lord, I've never seen that before, so great. And then, of course, we had the airplane grounding that went recently. They had recently, and that affected American Airlines pretty badly. So I go to check in on my flight, or about a week before the flight, I found out my outgoing flight was canceled, and so they had to rework me. And it wasn't real bad. I went through Charlotte and then direct. But then I last Sunday afternoon, I stopped by my office to go ahead and get my boarding passes for Monday, and that my return flight had been canceled. And so I got on the phone, camped on the phone for 45 minutes, I suppose, and they were going to rework me to come back Friday evening, which was missed the end of the conference. So I said, look, I paid you guys to get me home on Saturday, and they did not have a single coach seat in the system. So they wound up flying me first class back to New York, and then a little commuter flight coming down, so I got to taste the other side. I would never want to pay for that, but it was nice, and it gave me a chance to lay down and sort of rest a little bit. But praise the Lord. Lord is my travel agent. You just put it in his hands, and he gets you back there and back. But I appreciate the conference. You know, men have their purposes in such conferences, but I believe the Lord has his. And one of them was very obvious, and that was that Tony and I got to spend a lot of time together and talk and fellowship, and I believe the Lord used that to encourage both of us, and we're very much on the same page. The Lord is working, and I believe he's making himself known in so many ways. So that was a big part of it. I'm still pretty woolly-headed this morning, so I'll try to, hopefully I can stand here and make sense, but it just seems like there's so much going on in the world, and sometimes we get here and it's a little insular. We're like, we're in our little bubble, and we're hearing from the Lord, and the Lord's working and encouraging us, and you wonder what's going on everywhere else. And I'll tell you, the Lord is speaking to his people. And in the midst of all of the stuff and all the activities of a meeting like that, the Lord gives you opportunity to interact with people and to hear. You know, you can tune in to something that somebody would say. It isn't necessarily the program that's doing it, but it's the people that are involved. And you hear things the Lord is saying and impressing upon other people, and you realize, hey, yeah, we really have been hearing from the Lord. And I was just blown away and amazed listening to different ones talk, and some of it was personal, and some of it was, you know, from a platform. And how many times I've said, Lord, that's exactly what I've been hearing, what I've been feeling, and trying to convey, and there it is, it's coming out. Somebody else is seeing and feeling the same things. We know we're in a broken world. We see where the world's going. That's not a question. And obviously there was a certain amount of dealing with that, and here's what's going on in the world, but at the same time, God is working. God is not just sitting on the sidelines waiting for us to muddle through. He is actively involved in so many ways in the world, and I'm just blown away and just praising him for his goodness. Lord, I don't even know where. I mean, you know, Lord, just tell me what to share and what to say, because you know, you come to the end and you look back and wait a minute. It's just so many different elements. What in the world do I even talk about? What do I remember? But wow. I guess I'll say this. One thing, there are movies. I'm going to save the last one for the end here. But there, we always, it seemed like the Christian movies have really burst into the forefront of the consciousness of people. And so there were a lot of opportunities to find out about more of them. Unfortunately, the a lot of them were late at night, and we didn't bother to try to stay up. We were on jet lag in reverse, didn't feel like staying up at night. But I know there's one coming out that some of you have probably seen advertised. I think it's coming out in a couple of weeks. And the name will come to me. Breakthrough, I think, is the name of it. But it is based upon the true story of something that happened in the last few years. About a Christian woman whose 14-year-old son fell through the ice and was eventually pronounced dead. No hope, just let him go. And she didn't. And against all the odds, she stood there and just prayed and with a strong faith, and God brought him back. And then, of course, well, he'll never be normal, you know. And she's, oh yes, he will. And her message to the doctor, I forget exactly the 3 points she said, but said, "Doctor, all I want you to do is do everything you can do, and God's going to do the rest. But I want you to know he's going to walk out of here normal." And he did. So what an encouraging movie that's going to be, I believe. So I don't know, you know, so many of these Christian movies, they don't wind up here. I hope they will. But frankly, I'm going to go to Fayetteville or wherever I need to go to see that one. That was the first night we didn't stay up. There were a number of others. One of them I wish I had known was being shown Friday afternoon, and that's Unplanned. Some of you may know what that one's about. The former rising abortion worker was about to, you know, to rise to be the level of a head of an abortion clinic, just fully embraced the whole idea that it was a good thing, that we're not dealing with life here, we're just dealing with tissue. So it takes you through her story until she happened to see, in the middle of an abortion, she saw the ultrasound, and she didn't see tissue, she saw a baby. And it totally changed her life, and so this movie is based upon her story of coming out of that and seeing other people influenced, and so that's coming out the end of this month. I'll save the best one for last and try to convey what it was about. But anyway, so that was an encouraging thing. This was the convention was different than any I've been to. It was not well attended compared to especially the one where Carl and I went to Orlando last time. It seems like it's a good thing, I guess, for the folks on the West Coast to have one that's near them, but an awful lot of people didn't go. So it was the crowds were a lot smaller, but still, there were wonderful opportunities. How many of you remember several years ago we showed the movie Such Were Some of You? Yeah, powerful story about homosexuality and testimonies. Well, I got to have several good interactions with Ann Polk, who is, I don't know if she's the head of that organization to put that out, but she's high up in it, and a converted lesbian with a tremendous testimony. And I talked with her, and then I heard her give a presentation in a small group, and then I went back and I just had a good long talk with her. And I'll tell you, that's a precious sister. She is on track, uncompromising, clear message of love in Christ. I mean, she's been in situations where she's been, you know, shouted down by Antifa groups and all that kind of stuff, and stood her ground with love and grace, and just seen the Lord touch people. So thank God for, I mean, God's got people in so many places. You know, all we have to do is kind of what Brother Thomas said, seek God and do what he says. We don't have to come up with programs. We don't have to reach the world. We have to just live out the life of Christ in our world. And that's something that I saw over and over again as we interacted with people that just are, they have their niche, they have their place where God is working and expressing himself through them in some way, in some measure. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's like we'll go to some of these meals that they have, the official meals, and you're seated around a table and you have no idea who you're going to be sitting with. And one of them, we sat there with some brethren from India, and it was a city we had flown through but never stopped in. And so we had really good fellowship with them, and they had a relative who was also at the table. And he seemed particularly drawn to me, and I to him, his precious brother. He lives in the U.S. and works in Los Angeles, but he's related to the two men that came over. And at the same table, there was a young man from Uganda. You know, Carl and I were in Kenya about 3 years ago, and we weren't that far from Uganda. But anyway, it was wonderful to get a real on-the-ground update of what's going on over there. And you see the Lord working in so many places in the world. There were many reports, of course, of what's going on with respect to persecution. In fact, one of the speakers, I just forgot this until this minute. How many of you remember there was a Senator Brownback who was also a governor of his state? Well, he is under Trump the ambassador for the persecuted, or for religious liberty, I guess it would be, because it's not just Christian. But and he gave quite an update about what's going on around the world and their efforts to reach so many governments and so many, you know, influence people. Things that are going on in China, things that are going on in North Korea. But I mean, this is not just a politician. This is a brother in Christ. You know, Governor Huckabee was there in one session. So there, God has got His people in government in all kinds of places. And I'm thankful, whatever you can say about, you know, the administration and the man that God's put in charge of it, he's definitely supporting things that we are interested in and standing for a lot of good stuff. So thank God. Pray for him. He has got a target on his back, if you haven't figured that out by now. The devil's crowd hates him, would dance in the streets if they shot him. That's not an exaggeration. That's the spirit that's seeking to take over the world, and the Lord is pushing back and doing. He's going to reach every one of His. That's the glorious thing. In the midst of all that's going on, in fact, you know, some of the reports that we had just confirmed things that I've known about. Is in the midst of some of the terrible, horrible upheaval in the Islamic world, particularly Syria and places like that, God is working. You have so many people that simply grow up as Muslims, and that's all they know. It's much more cultural than it is some real revelation or anything like that. They just, this is what I am, this is what we do. And they're living, and they're watching what's happening in the name of Islam in many places. And then they're seeing Christians, many times who are coming to their rescue, showing the love of Christ in practical ways to them. My God, there's a lot of people coming to Christ in those kinds of places. Pray for our brothers and sisters. It's, you know, God has to use all kinds of things to get a hold of His people. Anybody here testify to that? If God just let us go and do what we feel inclined to do, every one of us would wind up in judgment. Not one of us would possibly make it. God has to intervene. And so, you know, they're seeing it in North Korea. One of the things, we had a worship service the other night. They usually have one that's kind of more modeled on a normal church service. And they take up an offering, of course. But anyway, the offering they took up had to do with Far East Broadcasting. And they have a burden and a vision to reach, to blanket North Korea better than it is. They have transmitters now that get in to some degree, but their vision right now is to build transmitters that will blanket North Korea with the gospel, based in South Korea, of course. And so that's something I can easily get behind. Thank God. Let the gospel go to every corner. One of the emphases we heard over and over again is this is perhaps the first generation that has the possibility of fulfilling the Great Commission because of the tools God has given us. The communication tools are incredible. And so, the Lord's going to use everything. The devil certainly uses the internet, but so does God. And so the thing is just to be in tune with Him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, there's so many things that just float through my head, all the different events. I guess one example that I was blessed by, and I don't know where this is going to go in terms of my being able to take advantage of it, but there was one ministry that had a session in which they showed a film. All right, that's the setting. And the man who was leading the session has been a filmmaker, producer, director, whatever, for decades in the Hollywood scene, but a Christian, seeking to do things that were for the Lord. And his testimony was that something over a year ago or somewhere past, in the last year or two, he had some project that he was involved in that just absolutely bombed. I mean, they were ready, they're all set, they had the numbers, they felt like this is going to succeed in the marketplace, And the numbers in the first 2 hours of ticket sales, they knew that this thing was gone. It was a bomb. What did I do wrong? You ever been that place where the Lord just shut you down? Yeah. Well, his testimony was that's exactly what God was doing, was bringing him to a place where there was nothing to do but say, God, I don't know what happened, but I'm, you know, just tell me what to do. And over, that was his testimony. The Lord had to break him and bring him down to a place where all he could do was just, okay, Lord, what's next? You know, that's the place God wants us. God help you if you're one that's got to plan your life out and you know what's supposed to happen. God has a way of showing you you're not in control. Not only that, we shouldn't be in control. God has a plan for every single individual in this place. It's amazing, and that's what we need to be seeking out. So anyway, the upshot of his testimony was that he felt a burden to produce some films based on the life of Christ, which, of course, that in itself is not new. But his vision was to do it from a different perspective. And so what he wanted to do was to show the interaction or the how Christ impacted certain people. But instead of looking at it as here's Jesus and he's meeting somebody, this is let's follow the life of the person and find out how they got to that point. What was their life like before they met Jesus? And then let's look at Jesus through their eyes. Boy, you can tell some powerful stories. And so, how you're going to do something like that was the question. And so the Lord led them to do something very unusual. How many of you know what crowdfunding is? You just put out the word and people contribute, individuals contribute. They don't have a studio behind them. But they actually, the Lord allowed them to raise $10 million, which is unprecedented. And they had produced a number of their episodes, and they showed one of them. So what a testimony. And he talked about how many times throughout the process they just came to what seemed like a dead end and just simply put it in the Lord's hands, and step by step by step, it's unfolded. Now, the thing that I don't know about, and I did talk to some of their people, was that this is going to be on a streaming service of some kind. So I got to find out how available that's going to be. The first episode, I think they're going to put out for free somehow. So anyway, we'll stay tuned on that one. But the first episode we meet is set in the city of Capernaum. We meet characters like Peter and John and, I guess, James probably, Andrew, I don't know. Anyway, the guys, the fishermen, and they're struggling because the fishing hasn't been good and they got to pay taxes and they're about to lose their boat, and you see Peter and his wife, but you see them as human beings. They haven't met Jesus yet in the story. And so this is their life. This is what life was like under the Roman government, having to deal with taxes, having to deal with the realities of everyday life. And then we meet a guy named Nicodemus who's come down as the teacher of Israel, and he's trying to hold his place and walk a fine line with respect to the Romans and what they want and the people and what he feels like they need. And he has this exalted position, and he's there to instruct the people on how to be God's people in the middle of all of this. And so you see the character begin to develop. But then the main character, I guess Matthew is there because he's the tax collector. And then the main character they focused on in the first episode was Mary Magdalene. And you see this little girl, this flashback to a little girl who's frightened and goes to her dad, and he encourages her and has her quote a scripture from the Old Testament, from the prophets. And, fear not, for I am with you. I forget, it seemed like that was the one. And so you're seeing this in her mind, and then you see her come forward, and she loses her father. And then you see her as this demon-possessed woman. You know, the scripture just says he cast out seven devils out of this woman. It's about all you really know about her. But what was her life like? And so you see this very dramatically brought out. All of a sudden, the whole village gathers, and she's having a fit in her room, and all they can do is wait. Nicodemus goes in, and he's supposed to do something. And you see the demons take over her face. You have no power here. Woo. Talk about dramatic, and he just backs out, leave this to the exorcists or whatever. But what a way to portray her condition. And then you see her going to the bar, I guess you'd call it in our terms, and just trying to drink away her sorrows and her pain and all that she's going through in her life is just totally hopeless. until she meets Jesus. And she's even been going under another name, just trying to hide, trying to live this, trying to survive. You see her going to a cliff, and then there's a dove that just flies around her, and she follows it back to the village. But she had just made up her mind, and then the Lord pulled her back from the... I'm just remembering the scenes. I've really thought about it hardly since. There's been so much else going on, but wow. The power of that. And even living under another name, and then all of a sudden, Jesus comes up behind her. He says, Mary. And he quotes the scripture. And you just see her set free. What a dramatic way to tell the reality of what it would have meant to people living in that world and then encountering Jesus and his love and his power to change hearts and lives. Praise God. I'm looking forward to the others. I hope I can see them. May have to sign up for something, but they... I'll tell you, you see the Lord in that? What a way to portray that. What a vision the Lord gave him and the provision and how the Lord had to bring him to a place where all he could do was say, okay, Lord, everything I've tried hasn't worked. You tell me what to do. And just today, that's all I need to worry about. Just today, let's just look to you. What a lesson in such a simple thing. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord brought that back to my mind because I was going to talk about it, but I didn't remember the emotional impact that it had at the time. That was powerful. So thank God. One thing, I don't know where the Lord's going to go with this. We went in for a special session at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, I think it was. And kingdom is coming, some grand announcement was what it was about. And Tony and I happened to be sitting directly behind Alex and Stephen Kendrick, so I had a chance to talk with them just a little. I mean, literally, they were sitting in the seats in front of us. But the announcement had to do with a Christian movie studio that was being announced with enough financial backing to compete in Hollywood. So, like I say, we'll see where that goes. And see what. But the people who are kind of at the center of that, who had the vision for it, are the people who put out the movie, what was it, last year? I can only imagine. It suddenly was a shocking box office hit. But I don't know how many of you remember October Baby that came out several years ago. I would highly recommend getting the video and watching that. It's a powerful story about a girl who was a survivor of abortion. And all the Lord took her through and bringing her to a place of reconciliation and all of that. But in any case, so they have got... They've got the backing and they've got a vision for movies. One of them is going to be, I don't know how you remember this well-known gospel singer who sings to stadiums full, arenas full, I guess. And he was married in a real fairy tale wedding, Christian wedding, wonderful, beautiful bride. And something, his wife became aware of something wrong with her on the honeymoon. Turned out to be cancer. And in a relatively short time, she died. And he wrote the song, I Still Believe. And so they're making a movie based upon his life and upon that thing. Well, the interesting thing is this event was not just there in Anaheim. They were tuned into the world. There was broadcasts going out. There was Facebook sharing, live, whatever, all the social media, all the ways it could be out there. And while that announcement is going out, then the actual singer comes online from wherever he's at, another part of the country. He's backstage in an arena, talks to us as a crowd, and then we see him walk out in the arena and announce to them, they're making a movie about my life, and this is the song, and he sings the song. This is all live stuff going on. So it was a pretty spectacular presentation. Well, I put that in the Lord's hands. If God can get his word out, praise God. But, I mean, this is not some little fringe, okay, here's a Christian movie and it's terrible. I mean, they're getting mainstream. And God is going to get his voice in the marketplace. And, you know, the one thing Hollywood cares about is, will it pay? Can you make money at it? Well, if it can, then praise God. God can fix that. So those are just some of those types of things that are out there. We had several people that were announced who were not able to be there. One of them I would just ask you to remember her in prayer. That's Johnny Erickson. She was supposed to lead the worship the other night, Thursday evening. Was it Thursday? Yes. Thursday evening worship service, but she's had a recurrence of cancer, so she's in the hospital. So pray for her. Pray for Ann Graham Lotz, same situation. And just remember these precious sisters. Had the main speaker for Thursday night was also in the hospital, not able to be there. And they had substituted a black preacher from Jacksonville, Florida. And he was good. Praise God. The Lord used him. I mean, he really had something. It was kind of interesting to sit there in a worship service and be taken through so many old hymns that most everybody knew. And it was especially interesting when the guy who was a substitute leader had the piano stop playing. And so let's just sing this verse a cappella. And you're sitting in an auditorium with hundreds of people, and it sounds like a choir. Because you got people, obviously, who know the songs, know how to sing, know the parts. So it literally, man, that was beautiful. What in the world else? Well, maybe other things will come to me as I go. Like I say, I'm still woolly-headed. I'm still on the West Coast time a little bit. But over and over again, I was just impressed with how the Lord works in people's lives and how much we need to be yielded to him, to trust him, to realize that this is not about us. It's not about even about life in this world so much as it is his eternal purpose and what he has done for us, to realize that, to walk in it, to realize how much the depth of his love and his purpose. And to put it in our vernacular, he's got this. He's got this. I know there were other people we interacted with. Maybe they'll come back to me as I think about. Oh yeah, one that would send greetings would be Kevin Wolf. He is I guess he's an agent, probably the only one we deal with. But he is a brother, lives in Arizona, Phoenix, I believe, and he has been in tune with us and what we're about. For a long time, he listens to our stuff himself. And so he is the one who's in touch with stations, and he's the one that really has helped open the doors for us to be in some of these major city markets. I remember sitting with him in Opryland one time in Tennessee and conveying to him that we're not just out there to see how many stations we can be on. There's a lot of Bible Belt places where people don't care. You're just sort of lost in the noise. But there's places that are empty that the big ministries don't want to go because there's no donors. And in some cases, that's the case. Well, we're not about that. We're paying our own way. The Lord's blessed us to do that. So send us to San Francisco. Send us to Chicago. And all these places that God has opened up. We're in Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, Sacramento, and Pittsburgh, I think, is a recent one. So the Lord has given us some open doors, and we're getting responses from what people would think are dry areas. Well, God's using the dryness. He's got his sheep in some of those places, and we hear from them. So pray for the broadcast. We don't realize the impact that it's having in places. And, you know, there's nothing humanly impressive, I guess is the word I'm trying to say, about it. That's not what we're about. When we sing, when I stand up here, the only thing that's right to do is say, oh, God, we're involved in something we can't do. So all we do is just say, Lord, you take over. God, do something that can help somebody. I'll tell you, God will answer. Do you believe God will answer a prayer like that? We just walk around with a sense of all this weakness and how nothing we are, and my God, who do you think is the author of that kind of thinking? The devil is a liar. He is a liar. Praise God. Maybe other things will come to me as I think about it. Oh, yeah, I'd say we met Kevin. We had a meal with him, which is fairly typical. He usually takes us out one time. But then we had the opportunity to meet his family, which was the first time. And so we met his wife, we met his daughter, we met his granddaughter. I don't know if some of you may remember that we prayed for his granddaughter. She has some medical issues. Sweet girl. And just wonderful family. I really appreciated them. Now, they were heading off to Disneyland, which was right down the street, for a day to take a little girl, no doubt. But what a blessing that was, just to sit there and have fellowship with them for a few minutes. So I praise God for that. I guess the big thing that's left, and I know there are other things that I should remember, but I don't, right off the top of my head, would be the new Kendricks film. Boy, that's another one. Wow. Do you think they've all been good up to now? Guys, in terms of the message and the clarity of the message, this is like up here compared to everything they have done up to now, if you can believe that. That is scheduled to come out. It's called Overcomer. It's scheduled to come out in August. And, you know, with their track record, this is going to be a major release around the world. And so thank God for what the Lord has given them. And, of course, I was able to, at least briefly, to interact with them on a personal level. And let me tell you, they got the goods. They have got the goods. There is a genuine burden. We heard them talk about it a little bit. And it seems like the Lord has given them an amazing partnership, because Alex is the storyteller. He's the one you see in the movies. But his brother Stephen is a deep student of the Word and has a kind of relationship with the Lord and a sense of where to go to be able to come up with a theme and to make it biblically rich. And so the Lord gave Alex the story and Stephen the burden, the straight, clear revelation of a passage of Scripture that brought this whole thing, project together. I've heard Alex talk several times about how they don't look for a good story. They look for a God story. And they pray until God gives them one. That's why they don't just keep coming out with movies every year. Every project is bathed in prayer and time. And so the story, I won't spoil the story itself. But there is no, they're not concealing at all the theme of it. And the theme has to do with identity. And I'll see if I can express it. Boy, do I wish. You know, we saw this, we watched the movie. Several of the actors who were in the movie were there in the auditorium with us. In fact, you remember Priscilla Shirer, who played the wife in the War Room? She has one of the major adult parts in this one. And Tony and I are sitting here in two rows over. She's sitting there with her boys watching the movie herself for the first time. We got some of the music. She got to go in with the music. But she's a special lady. I don't know how many realize that she's the daughter. I didn't realize this. She's the daughter of Dr. Tony Evans, who we heard speak in the last meeting. But she's a precious sister. And we watched the movie anyway. And afterwards, several of them were on the stage and being asked questions, I guess about five of them. And the answers let you know these people were tuned in. Not only did they get what it was about, the movie itself, doing it, was a big impact in their lives. Praise God. I mean, the theme of this thing should touch every Christian. It's needed. It's dead on with things that I felt burdened about myself and seen in a measure. But this is not just some preachy little thing that's not going to appeal to other people. Man, the question of identity, who am I? Who am I really? One of the interesting things was there was an overlap with our convention and another one that was huge. How many of you have seen these Comic-Con type things, where people go and they dress up as comic characters? Well, this was WonderCon, and I'm guessing from what I saw advertised around. I think it had to do with gaming and all the fictional characters there are in video games and all that kind of stuff. And it was surreal to be walking over to the expo, and all around you there's these people dressed up as all kinds of fictional characters. But think about what's going on. I don't want to sit there and say, isn't that stupid? The reality is we've got a world full of people who don't know who they are. And they're empty. And they're hungry. And the devil has done everything in his power to destroy anything that resembles what God intended in the beginning. The families are being destroyed. Lives are being destroyed. And people are wondering, who, you know, where does that leave me? Who does anybody care? What's my purpose? Am I loved? Am I valued? Who am I worth anything? Who gets to define that? You see the power of the theme? Lord, when you can go with that and then give a genuine Bible answer to a question like that, and then portray a story that anybody can identify with, and it's powerful. And so many people. I'm trying to think how many elements of the story I can put in without spoiling it. I'll tell you, the truth is you could know all about it and still be powerfully blessed by it. But I'm still going to not spoil it too bad. But the Alex plays a coach again in this one. And early on, things go south. There's a economic downturn in his community. There's a big factory that moves away, and a lot of his players go, and his dreams for this great next season we're going to have are gone. And somewhere along the way, someone asks him a question: who are you? Really? I mean, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a coach? Do you see yourself just as a husband, as a father, is your identity all wrapped up in this team? Is it what you do? Is that what you are? Well, suppose the Lord takes that away from you. You're a father. Suppose the Lord takes your family away. Then what are you? That's some powerful, deep questions. Well, I'm a plumber. I'm a businessman. I'm this. Or I'm, or kids growing up. Broken homes. Does anybody really care? Does anybody love me? Do I matter to anybody? Where is my stability in life? Who am I really? And then you get in the schools. I mean, it's been a while, but I can still remember. Are you one of the cool ones? Are you one of the in crowd? Are you just somebody that everybody mocks and dismisses as unimportant? Boy, you could go on and on and on with the reality of a theme like that. We have got a broken world, folks. If we don't have an anchor, I mean, you know, we don't need to. We see people with questions of gender identity today. And it's easy to just sit there and mock that. But the reality is you're dealing with people who are dealing with real issues. This is not just stuff they're playing with and making up. They have no root, no anchor, and the devil can come on and just invade their thoughts and plant any kind of idea he wants to in their mind. And you see the brokenness and the twisted, messed up world that we have. God, we need to have compassion for people. We need to have compassion for people who are caught in homosexuality, but that's almost passé now. Now it's all this gender stuff. Who am I? Who gets to decide who I am? Do I? Or do I just let the world define me? You're dumb. You're fat. You're beautiful. You're, you know, talented. You're this or you're that. Is that where we get our identity? What happens when that changes? I'll tell you, one of the characters that the Lord really used in this one, and I'll see if I can tell it without spoiling it, is a man whose life was a total mess. Self-centered jerk. who just caused pain everywhere around him. But when we meet him, he's lying in a hospital bed, blind from diabetes. Very late in his life, but he's full of joy. He said, the Lord had to break me to reveal himself to me. And he becomes a very key part of the story. He's the one who challenges Alex, I think. You know, who are you really? What happens if the Lord, you know, God forbid, takes all of this away? Then what's left? Who are you really? And it becomes a tremendous gateway for the Lord to open up the truth. I started to say, I wish you could have heard Stephen Kendrick talking about the theme and how the Lord, over a period of time, just drew him to a passage of Scripture, and he just drank it in over and over and over again. It just became a powerful thing. Boy, and he expressed that. I'd love for him to stand here and share the passion and the burden. There was an anointing on him when he was just saying the simple things that he had to say. Something that just deeply rooted. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do except maybe share the theme a little bit. So many times I've talked about how the devil implants lies and they become the truth to us. I've shared that thought several times. This is exactly in line with that. Because where do I get those ideas that help to define how I see myself? Who am I? But the theme of this is there's only one that gets to define me, and that's my Creator. And if we can ever get anybody grounded in that truth and have the relationship that he desires, but I mean, if that becomes the defining anchor for the soul, is the way Hebrews puts it, what a difference that makes. What difference does it make what anybody thinks of me? If I'm set free to just be his and be who he made me. Think about that. Lord, that's kind of a movie you want to see more than once. I'm going to certainly see it again and buy it. I own all their movies anyway. But the simplicity of that story. So I don't know what else to share this morning, but I think I'm going to go ahead and open the Scriptures where he was impressed. I couldn't even touch it compared to what the Lord's given him and the power, the conviction the Lord's given him about this. But it's Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. Become extremely central to the characters in the movie. And you will be blessed and amazed, I think. I've got one of the handouts they had was this little bookmark, and they've got a sort of a summary, but this doesn't even cover it. There are so many things in a scripture, in a passage that we have known, we're familiar with it. It's almost something like, you know, you read it and your eyes glaze over. But my God, do we get what the Lord is saying? One of the main characters comes to the Lord in it. I'll say this much. And the first challenge is, you just come to the Lord. Take the first two chapters of Ephesians and read it through and write down everything it says you are. Think about that. Let's just look at a little bit. I haven't had time to make any organization out of this, which is probably a good thing. But anyway, starting in verse 3, chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So let me ask you a question. Are you cursed or are you blessed? Folks, if you're his, I don't care what the earthly circumstances are, you are blessed. But do you see yourself that way? Or is your attention so earthbound, so bound up in experiences and circumstances, though this is what defines me? Oh God, if I can make this work, then I will feel good about myself and who I am. Or do we say, Lord, there's one thing that determines. Am I in the hands of God? Am I in the will of God? Is he the one that I'm trusting in with all the circumstances of life, whether they're good or bad, as the world identifies them? Or am I just looking up and saying, oh God, what you've done for me. I am a blessed person. I don't care what the devil says and how things look in the world. I am blessed because you have set your love upon me. Praise God. Blessed us. And that was the first element on this little bookmark, but there's more than they had room for. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Do you sometimes feel like nobody wants you? There's a lot of people who feel that because of life. Who really cares? I don't matter to anybody. I'm just where I'm at by default, but nobody really. But he chose you. He chose you. He looked down. He doesn't just say, I'm going to get a whole bunch of people. You all over there, come on in. You. Just thinking of the scripture. This is not tied to this particular thing, but I mean the scripture that was quoted in that other movie about Mary Magdalene was the one that was in Isaiah. I have chosen you. I've called you by name. When the Lord called you to himself, he called you, the individual. That's the reality that needs to become the defining way we understand the world and our place in it. God had a plan, as we've heard so many times before the foundation of the world. He knew you. He knew me in spite of everything that's been wrong with me and still is. He knew you by name, and he had a plan for your, not just to get through this world, but it has to do with eternity. You spend your life trying to be somebody else or like somebody else? If you waste your time trying to be like somebody else, who's going to be you? There are no two people in the history of this planet, nor will there ever be, who are the same. Everyone is unique. Everyone matters. God's heart is wrapped around. He doesn't say, this one is good, this one matters, this one is, oh well, we'll let him in. Everyone has a place in God's heart, in God's plan. My God, if this can become the conviction of the heart, these are things that we know with our heads, but how many times do they never penetrate down in here where they need to be, where I understand? Oh God, I rest in your heart and your purpose. I believe it. Even as I say it, I look out and I know how we react. It's like, I want to believe that, but I just don't feel it. There has to come a time, I believe, when God burns these truths into our hearts and they become ours. And then when the kids at school or somebody else just, they react to you, well, praise God. I tell you, I'll say this much. One of the characters who really got this was a young person in that movie. And you see her later on talking to a group of young people and just powerfully expounding this truth. And I'll tell you, there's nobody more than young people who need to get this. Because we know, I mean, it was bad enough in my day. But kids are cruel. And part of trying to establish their own identity is trying to be somebody and join up with somebody else to feel important and to feel like you matter and then to exercise that. And you get this sense of, well, I'm somebody because I can stomp on somebody else. Oh, God, set people free from all that demonic junk. You are blessed. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Praise God. In love. And that isn't that amazing? That's the defining characteristic. I think we said many times, God isn't, I mean, our love, what we call love, is so self-serving. It's all about how it affects me. And God's love for you is not about, well, it's just not like ours. It is demonstrated in what Jesus did to make this possible. Sacrificial. Showing favor that no one could ever begin to earn or deserve. Oh God, what an awesome thing it is to come to the end of ourselves and say, God, there's nothing I can do to deserve this. I want you to change me. I don't want to be the person I was. But I can't fix this. I can't fix me. Lord, I just surrender into the hands of your love. I want to be defined by you, not by me or the world. In love, he predestined us to be adopted. You know, we have adoption in the world, and thank God it's better than the alternative. One of the interesting sessions we had to do with a couple from Britain, from England, who had been tapped by the British government to work with the Chinese in Shanghai, of all things, who had institutions full of orphans. But they had no idea what to do with them beyond simply allowing them to live their lives out in an institution. And so the burden was, let's find out how adoption works. Let's get this model built into the Asian mentality. And so they went over there, and this is a Christian couple. They didn't go over there to preach, but they went over there with a hunger and a burden to share, to show the love of Christ in a way that nobody could argue with it. The upshot is 20 years later, I mean, they took us back on a documentary and showed family after family after family that had adopted kids and how that had all worked out and the joy that had come. There had been 1 million adoptions in the last 20 years there, and they're asking them to come all over Asia. So they're praying. I mean, it's not like we're going to run after every little thing. They didn't look for this. And they took their 6 kids and went to live in Shanghai in a nation that had a one-child policy. And all of a sudden, they're dumped in the middle of a foreign country, and the guy has never really learned to speak Chinese in all that time. His Chinese is pretty horrible from what he said. Yeah, they were there in the session. Anyway, that was a side point. But, I mean, the thing, how does somebody feel who's comes into the world and they don't have the divine model of parents who are loving and nurturing and protecting and you see the value of how God does stuff? But in a broken world, there's a lot of people who don't feel that sense of security and identity. But God adopted you and he adopted me, not just in an earthly sense, but in a heavenly, eternal sense into his family. That makes me God's child. To the praise of his glory, the pleasure of his goodwill, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So what do I do with what's wrong with me, all the stuff I've done? God did it. He's the one who has... So I can stand here and instead of saying, I'm this poor, poor creature, unworthy. Quit wallowing. God has redeemed you. I can stand here today with the righteousness of Christ in God's eyes. I don't deserve it. There's no thing I can point to and say, this is why. It's because of his love. That's my identity. I am his child. He has redeemed me. What about my sins? He has forgiven them. Everything has been provided. What a message to be able to just say, stop all this wallowing and trying to be this, trying to figure out who you are. Just come and rest in the identity that he had in his heart for you before the world ever was. That's what it's about. Praise God. Redemption. Forgiveness. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Over and over again, you see that. That answers the why. Which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, and to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ, in whom we were also chosen, having been predestined. God made this choice before we ever were around, according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you were included. How many of you go through life and you feel like, oh, there's a group I'd sure like to be part of, but they're excluding me? Well, here is a group to end all groups. And God will include you. You don't have to measure up to some earthly standard or try to please people to become included in this. God's included you. And He's included me. What a message of simplicity and hope. You were included when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. And that answers the question, how certain is all of this? You know, we seal things to lend weight and authenticity and to say you can believe in this. Look, there's a seal that is a symbol of the fact that this we mean business about this deal or whatever it is, or this contract. But there's a seal that God puts on the heart of everyone who surrenders into His hands. That's the gift of His Spirit. Comes to live deep down in here, and we become somebody different in here, not just outwardly, religiously. But I'll tell you, Paul was able to say, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to commit to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And again, that verse in Hebrews. What is it about? This hope we have is what? It's an anchor. This world will blow you every which way, depending on what's happening in your life and who you are in relation to other people. But there is a hope that God puts in the hearts of His children that is an anchor for your soul. No matter which way the wind blows, that holds. The anchor holds. Praise God. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. So you were sealed, marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You want to know how certain this is? God's guaranteed it. That's good enough for me. He which has begun that good work is going to fulfill it. And He goes on and talks about, wow. He goes on and talks about the, Paul wants to, he's praying that they'll get all this, that they'll be filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and know how great it is. But what about that part that we've talked about so many times down in verse 22, 23? God placed all things under His feet, that's Jesus, and appointed Him to be head over everything. What for? So He can be Mr. Big? No, it's for us. Everything that would rise up to defeat us and keep us from God's purpose, God has already put that under His feet. The devil can rage, but he cannot win. That's why he's raging, because he knows he can't. But oh, it's even better than just him being head over the church, because we're his body. We're not just sort of affiliated with him, we're connected. There is a living, organic connection between us and the Son of God. God has done this. And of course, He puts an accent on this by talking about the condition we were coming into all this. You were dead. You followed the ways of the world. You lived according to the devil. That doesn't mean you went out and did bad things necessarily by the world standard. But I'll tell you, if we live, and the thing that defines us is what the devil puts in here. I mean, you might live a life that everybody admires because you accomplish great things in the world, but if it's all for you and outside of His will, it's coming to nothing. You could gain the whole world. So what? You lose your soul. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying. Paul included himself in that, didn't he? Religious as he was. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad this is what defines me. Doesn't matter who I am in the world or what I do. You think about how the love of God that can take some of the brokenness of our world and people that we would look down and say, well, okay, you know, they're really nobody. They're not important. They're important to Him. There are people in this world who are greatly disadvantaged from the world standpoint who are going to stand there on that day because there's a God who loved them and planned for them before the foundation of the world. And there are people who are self-important, some of them religious, who imagine that they're doing great things and they're going to stand there on that day and be on the wrong side. I tell you, we got a God who knows what He's doing. Oh, praise God. What it sets me free from trying to measure up, trying to be something that He's the one who's doing it. He didn't even wait till I had any part in this. He came and revealed Himself to me. Only a God like this could do it. It's because of His great love. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in sins, transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. You feel like you're down here and the world is stomping on you? I'll tell you what, I'm sure Paul felt that way sometimes when he was being beaten and thrown into prison. From an earthly standpoint, that wasn't much of a life. But yet they could go into the Philippian jail knowing he had been unjustly dealt with because he was a Roman citizen. They had no right to beat him. There they were, instead of calling their congressman, they were singing praises to God, and God sent an earthquake and brought salvation to the jailer's house. Why? Because Paul was not defined by his circumstances and what everybody else thought about him. He was connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He may have been in a prison, beaten, but yet he was on a throne on the inside. Every single one of us has been raised that knows Jesus and has given surrendered their hearts to Him. You are sitting on a throne today. You may not know it. There is nothing the devil can do that can defeat God's people who put their trust in Him and just give every issue to Him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You didn't do it. You don't deserve it. Neither do I. But God put us on that throne with Him. Seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why? Where is He going with this? In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You want to invest all of your energy in life trying to be something here? Give me a break. How stupid, how blind, how foolish is that? When your Creator planned for you from all eternity for something that will never end. Who are you today? I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I've been saved. I've been adopted. I've been chosen, redeemed, forgiven. That's my identity today. Nothing else defines me. Praise God. You don't think that movie's going to have an impact on people who get it? Oh, wow. I don't know where they're going to go from this, but the Lord knows. Thank God. So praise the Lord. I'm tired, but I'm going to be okay. I know Tony is. He came back coach. But he's younger than I am. But I'll tell you what, God is so good. And I just pray. I know in the midst of a congregation like or a convention like that, you got all kinds of people. You've undoubtedly got some that are just religious. But you got people that know the Lord. And we could find lots of things to disagree about. But the one thing that I care about, do they really know him in here? And I'll tell you, God can take somebody like that, and he can break them if necessary, like he did with that filmmaker, like the guy in the film also. And he can take them and use them in ways that have an eternal impact, not just me trying to make my way in the world. And I know that's the message for every one of God's people. I don't know who you are here today and what you think of who you think you are. But I'll tell you, there's a God who wants you to know him and to take the truths that he has revealed about what he has done for you and to let that become the bedrock conviction of your heart. It's not an ego thing because it's not according to works, not who I am that made this happen. It's all because of this amazing God and his love and what he's done for us. Praise God, that gives me hope in a broken world. I don't have to please people. Praise God. You know, I feel like Sister Ann, who was, you know, trying to carry the message of what God had done for her, and then there's outside, there's more people outside shouting and screaming at her, and then there are inside listening. And yet she just rests in the Lord, loves him. There was one lady that came out of that crowd and actually came in and listened and realized these aren't haters. They love me. Tried to go out and talk to the people about it, say, they're not like that. You know. You can't reach them until the Lord breaks that down. But before it was over, that girl had her head on someone's chest, sobbing. God, may God use us in the context in which he has brought us to simply live out his life. Don't ever let the world define you. If you're in Christ, there's no way to be a loser. There's no way. You don't have to try to be a winner. You are. He has made us to be what he wants us to be. And I want with joy just to accept that and walk in that and be that and let that define who I am. And I pray that everyone here will do the same. God wants to set us free from the chains of this world, the lies we have believed about ourselves and about others, and be his people. And I'll tell you, the same one who's called us is in us and with us, and he'll do it. May God make his love more real to every one of us. Praise God. Praise the Lord.